Hey, everybody, it's Becky Davidson. Welcome to the Rising Above Ministries podcast. I am so glad that you're joining us today. Let me tell you, get ready to laugh because today we have the hilarious Jarrell Roach with us. He's better known as Mr. Hilarious Hope, and he happens to be a special needs dad. He is a natural born comedian and speaker, and he loves to use his gift to encourage, elevate, and entertain others everywhere that he goes. Now, something that we are super excited about here at Rising Above is that Jarrell will be performing at our upcoming virtual event that we have scheduled for dads coming up on Friday evening, November 20th. He's going to be performing and bringing the funny that night as he's going to share jokes and hilarious things that only other special needs dads are going to get. So be sure to sign up for that. Now, here's the best part, dads. This event is free. All you've got to do is sign up through our website and you will receive information on how you can access this free virtual event just for you. You can sign up at risingaboveministries.org and you'll find all the information that you need about this free event that we have planned just for you. Now, something else, dads, that we have for you, it's coming up starting on Thursday evening, September 17th. We have a Zoom online community group for dads that's going to be led by our very own Rob Pierce here from our office. It'll be at 7 p.m. Central, and Rob will be going through my late husband's book, Common Man, Extraordinary Call. And it's going to be a great way for you to connect with other dads from around the world as you learn how to be the husbands, the fathers, and the men that God has called you and created you to be. So it's just another great opportunity for you to connect with other dads. So you can find that information as well on our website, risingaboveministries.org. Go to the community page and you can find out how to sign up there and get more information about that group. So sit tight. Let me tell you, get ready to laugh because you are going to love this fun-filled conversation that I got to have with Jarrell Roach. And again, dads, be sure to sign up for our free virtual event where you will get to see him perform for free at that event. Here's my friend Jarrell. All right, Jarrell, I cannot thank you enough for being here with us today. I'm going to call you Jarrell, a.k.a. Mr. Hilarious. Mr. Hilarious Hope. Wait a minute, I got to get it right. Mr. Hilarious Hope.
That's all good. Yeah, I'll take it all. That's all good. What's up? I'm glad to be here with you today.
Well, I am honored that you're here, and we are so excited at Rising Above because you have graciously agreed to be part of our upcoming event for dads coming up in November. And we are it's going to be great. It is going to be great. Yeah. So the guys, the dads are going to get to hear a little bit about you today, and it's just going to make them want to come and sign up for that event.
Oh, yeah. What's up, fellas? I get excited about my bros, man. It really jazzes me up. I love being a dude. I love being a man. Like it gets me excited. Oh, so what's up, my brothers?
Yeah. And so I'm hoping that we're going to have lots of dads sign up because I know you are going to bring it that night at that event. So we are super excited about that. Okay. So I want you in 2 minutes, I want you to give me just your elevator pitch. Who is Mr. Hilarious Hope, Jarrell Roach?
Wow. Okay.
2 minutes. I'm counting. I'm watching.
Yeah. Jarrell Shaki Roach, man. My roots start in Mississippi. I was born in Nebraska. I like to claim Mississippi a little bit because it makes me feel a little bit more black. Come on.
I love it.
And my nickname is Buddy. And I love the nickname Buddy. The nickname Buddy, though, it doesn't get me street cred. If I was to join a gang, you know, make a gang up with the nickname Buddy, like our gang colors would probably be like glitter and fuchsia. Like we, not a tough name. You
not
know,
a tough name. You got to come like up with a new one. You got to get a new one.
And been in Nebraska my whole life. I moved up to the city called Omaha to finish school, some college. And I met this wonderful queen who I've been married to going on 11 years. We got married in February 14th, meaning we gave a few hundred people a date night. Come on. And
smart move.
Been married ever since. I am happily married. Can't say every moment has been happy, but I'm happily married. I married the right woman. She's a wonderful queen. We have four children. 17, 10, 9, and 5, and they are the blessing of my world. I'm grateful to her in all sorts of measures and ways, but I'm so grateful for those precious children. Two boys, two girls. Then they gave it no perfect way, no other perfect way in the Roach home. We are a military family, meaning we've been in the Air National Guard and Reserve now. It's going on 20 years. It's been 18, but we'll be going on 20 years. I ain't done nothing that long besides be black and handsome. And so I got a good thing working for me. And then we are also missionaries. We've been in the mission field for about 5 years with Youth for Christ Ministry. I work as a part-time role in our church as a youth pastor. My goal is to build the two bridges. And then we've also kicked off the Hope Hood campaign and Our Gathering Place, which are a for-profit and a nonprofit platform to share hope and love with people. So that is the Roach Clan. We are happily, we love the kingdom of God. I can't say it enough. We love Jesus. God has saved us. He has changed our life around. Come on.
I love it. And, you know, we got to meet you in Kansas City at a conference. Right outside Kansas City last year, like I guess last fall. So it's been about a year. And
the Wonderfully Made Conference.
Yeah. And got to hear a little bit about you and what you're doing and just were completely blown away. And so I was so glad that we got to meet you then, because then that brought you here to us for this event and this podcast. And I love what you're doing, you know, in your area and around the world. So keep going.
Thank you. I can't wait to reverse it. We don't have a podcast yet. We're moving that way. We don't know what it's going to quite be, but I can't wait to have you yet. And I thank you for your generosity and your kindness. I remember you. I just remember how kind you were.
Thank you so much. Well, I want to talk a little bit about like your website. So what's your web address? Where can we find you?
J. Roach Presentations is our web address.
Okay.
J. Roach Presentations, we've completed, 4,000, about 4,000 presentations since we've started back in the day. That ranges anywhere from the gospel, from panels to hosts to MCs, from podcasts to showing up at radios to comedy shows. And our goal is we don't say no to anything. God gives us this crazy place to create, and we create. And that's what's made us really, I think, that's what's allowed us to continue to have doors open in our partnership. I think we've learned to trust him, and he's entrusting us. And he's just such a gracious father. He's such a gracious God. But that's it. And our focus is really that E3 approach. It's for encouragement to elevate and entertain.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to ask you. So what is that, you know, how does that influence your work? So to encourage, elevate, entertain, how does that all play out?
It kind of works because, you know, people ask, well, Jarrell, what do you do? And then I kind of had this pushback where they're like, well, you just need to be a comedian. And man, you can't talk about that many things and you need to have a set topic. And so I said, well, how about not? Because I didn't hear God really calling us to that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I see more opportunity. So I said, one thing we love to do is encourage. By all means, I feel like that is what some might deem as a love language, right? Elevating purposes, causes, care, ideals, concepts, and then entertainment, because comedy has just really been a part of our life. It hasn't gone away. In fact, I started the presentations through comedy, but because of God's love for us, I think, and the way he's designed us, we can flow in multiple fields. And so that's a high volume of presentations, but we really feel like that's the lane of God's people. Yeah. We just feel like we're multipliers. And so that's really where the three come from. And it's all in the umbrella of hope, which we can talk about here in a little bit, or people will see a little bit more because we're about to get the website all revamped. So under J. Roach Presentation. Yes.
You know, and Goodness gracious, in 2020, who doesn't need a little hope and encouragement and entertainment and, you know, with all that's going on? And so have you seen that, you know, this year, just like the deep need in people to have this true hope and to be able to laugh? Have you just seen that play out even more so in the craziness of 2020?
Oh, yeah. People are thirsty. That's a terminology that we use. Thirsty, desperate for that laughter, not just the entertainment piece, but something that fills them with joy.
Absolutely.
People are thirsty for it because we are living this global story. I just did a presentation with this and several hundred youth. We're living this global story and we're actually history. Someone's going to read about our pages. They might see you, Becky. They might see me on the pages of what's happening, what's going to go on in the future. We are literally living out the future. And so the thing that I'm realizing all the more now, it's not something I haven't preached, if you will, but like what I do is for us.
Right.
What you're doing is for us. Mm-hmm. Like we are not flying solo on this thing. And I think since we've had a chance to live this global story, all of us are being impacted somehow, some way. We have to see it, right? All of us are living this global story. I think we all now get a chance to contribute openly. There's a level playing field because we all are embracing something that we can't escape. Money doesn't make you escape it. Mm-hmm. A lack of money doesn't cause you to escape it. Race and gender doesn't cause you to escape it. Your demographic, it's something that the whole world is going, oh, shucks. So when we get a chance to bring this comedy around to it, man, and crack jokes and look at the subliminal, hysterical, hilarious parts of life, oh, it's like a cherry on top of your favorite dessert. It's really good. And we really need it. We really need it. So we just had a buddy of mine. His name was Carlos Tibbs. And his comedy campaign was Joy Over Sorrow. Mine is Hilarious Hope. And his was Joy Over Sorrow. Coronavirus has impacted all of us. In this last week, his mother passed away from coronavirus. 2 days later, he passes away from coronavirus.
Wow.
And comedians were calling each other. I had a buddy call me, macho man, very masculine, call me. He's crying. And I'm like, this dude's either laughing at something really funny or something happened to his child.
Yeah.
And he's like, Carlos has died. And a grown man is crying and weeping. And we had nothing else to say. We just kept saying, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And we're crying over the phone. We lost one of our buddies in the comedy game. And you're seeing people share so much love with this comedian because of what he brought to the stage. When I say a riot, Becky, he is a riot.
Wow.
Absolute. He would make me uncomfortable. I'm like, this dude is a nutcase.
That says a lot right there, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Because as a Christian comedian, we're challenged with how do we write material?
Yeah.
Do we write material that strictly for a church? Do we write a material for people that are lost? And Carlos and I were really adamant about being in both worlds because we felt like in some ways it's one and the same. People just need really good entertainment.
Absolutely.
You know, and so we had several conversations about what that looked like, and people understood him as being a Christian, but yet he'd make this crazy comedy that was just always pushing the limits. And you just knew where he was. You just knew who he was, though. And he just said, I just want to reach people with my entertainment. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we need it nowadays. They were just hosting a comedy show. It was an outdoor comedy, like theater, like a movie theater, like a drive-through. And he couldn't make it because he had Corona. That was his last show.
Wow.
And, just last week. So, we need some laughter. We're going to be doing a camp, like a comedy fundraiser, if you will, just for his family. I don't think they need it, but we just want to pull people around and say we want to memorialize our buddy that gave so much to us. And so, yeah, people need it right now. Yeah. Laughter over sorrow, right?
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. And, you know, spend some time on your website, read some really cool stuff. So I want to read a quote. There's a quote. It's actually a thing from your bio on your website. It says, our service must require restoring honor and dignity to humanity. By applying our minds within the purpose of everyday life, we believe that we can be partakers of an emerging culture of thinkers and doers that truly desire to see the best in others without any strings attached. Man, that
I said that? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I got it right
Come
here.
On, Lord.
Yeah, I know. It's like, that's pretty good, isn't it? Yeah. So what does it mean to you to restore honor and dignity to humanity? You know, there's so much crisis and trial and people arguing, fighting. And so to you, What does that mean, to restore honor and dignity to humanity? I mean, that's a big calling.
Wow.
That's a big calling.
It is. You know, we are not perfect people, my wife and I. But I would say this. One thing that we are pretty serious about is the way that we treat people. And we feel like we are responsible as God's kingdom children to restore, to add restoration to this world. Like biblically, like we're ministers of reconciliation. Mm-hmm. There ain't no others. If folks is out there tripping, it's probably because they don't know Jesus.
Yes.
And if they still tripping and they know Jesus, they need to repent, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're in this place where, like, I say it like this, not even trying to be silly. I've just had a lot of close calls in my life. I've seen probably some more life and death than the average people have. And because our work in pastoral field and the military, and just I'm a guy that rolls up my sleeves and I get involved.
Yeah.
So I am planning for my funeral right now. And when I think about restoring what was lost to people, I think I am responsible. The greatest ability we have in this world is responsibility. And I am responsible for Becky, because I wasn't one time. Mm. Like, keeping it honest, Becky, I was really, really not great towards ladies. I had a problem with ladies. I did not appropriate my relationships with ladies. You can read in between the lines what I'm saying, okay? My mama would be giving me the stank eye right now.
I'm tracking with you,
So part of my restoration for that is I am going out of my way to honor and respect queens. Because it's needed. They need big brothers and men that can love them with no strings attached. They need to be able to be beautiful in the presence of men without us having poor thoughts about them in our head. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But we also need to feel that way towards the homeless. Like, I want to give him my money, but I know what he's going to do. Man, it ain't your money. If you want to give him $5, give him $5. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And so, like, or race, like, there's thought that I know that people have had in their head. So, like, it starts with this idea of responsibility and going, I have the ability to restore what was taken away from people. And I want to give that my whole life, because I feel like Jesus gave his whole life for that. Woo, come on.
All right, so the last part of that statement, though, said, we believe that we can be partakers of an emerging culture of thinkers and doers that truly desire to see the best in others. I love this last part, without any strings attached.
Yes.
That is powerful. What does that look like? What does that mean to you?
I think it looks like purity, and I think it looks like holiness. I think it looks like loving people with nothing from them. I remember God used to wake me up before I went to Sunday school back in the day. As a grown man, it was our educational piece.
Yeah.
And I remember one day he just said, go visit the homeless. And he showed me, take pastries, you know, and I just would go pick up pastries. And before I went to church, I would just go down. I'd wake a couple of our homeless brothers and sisters up. And I would just say, good morning. I just wanted to leave these with you. And most time they would sit up and want to have a conversation with you.
Wow.
And I think that's where it has to come from.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we want nothing in return. It is still better to give than receive.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so, like, I've always I believe in service because I've seen great examples of it. My mom used to let people come live with us and we'd be like angry kids. But I didn't realize she was giving people a great transition place to live because I didn't know it. She didn't want anything in return. And you know why they love her is because she loved them with no strings attached.
No strings attached. I just finished reading Everybody Always by Bob Goff. And that's part of the message in that. It's like, you love people who are hard and who are difficult without expecting anything in return. It's, you know, loving those, you know, it's easy for me to love those people who are like me. It's easy for me to come alongside those people who think like I think, look like I look. You know, behave the way I behave, but man, it's a whole different story coming alongside and loving well those people who are different from me. And so I love that no strings attached.
Yes. And so, we got to always remember that we are missionaries, you know, and we got to show up asking people to fund our mission, which is crazy. And my theory is I'm going to love them as a friend before I love them as a funder. I'm gonna ask everybody. That's why I salute the homeless person. They ask everybody, right?
Yeah.
And I'd rather be a friend with you, because if you say yes or no, you're still my friend. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And like, that's to me, it moves us towards hope. That's what hope is about. And that's why we're going to be kicking off this campaign called Hopehood. And ultimately, our hood, our neighborhood are those that we hope with. Mm. And so hope is about raising up, is about adjusting our expectations towards positive and goodness by raising up the standard so that in turn we have this entirely different set of anticipation. So if I'm treating Becky well, I anticipate for wellness to come out of it. Mm. That's honesty, that's purity, et cetera. But if I'm treating Becky like she's some kind of object or she's some kind of just a woman, or that's my expectations of her might not be in the right place. So I'm not raising the standard for our relationship. I'm not raising the standard for what we can anticipate. I've pigeonholed you. I've put strings on you.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, but what hope does, what hope does is it allows us, by God's love and grace, it allows us to look beyond the person and see the potential of Jesus. And if we love a person from their potential, we're always willing to raise the standard.
Wow. Okay, Jarrell, this is good stuff, man.
Come on.
Good stuff.
God has changed my life, man. He has changed my life, Ms. Beck. I'm telling you. Oh, boy.
Wow. Well, you know, you say something else on your website, and you say, I love this because I'm a big believer in this one. We speak life in order to give life to others. Man, that is so needed in this world. And so how does that play out in your everyday life? I mean, I'm already hearing what you do, basically.
Yes, ma'am.
How does that play out for you in your day in, day out? And then how do you encourage other people to do the same, especially in this culture we live in? There's so much, you know, division and people, you know, fighting and not loving well. So how do you go about doing that in your day to day? And then how are you teaching others to do that?
Wow, that's actually a really good question. As simple as it is, they run deep. Some of the most simple questions are the deepest. We speak life to give life because I believe words frame worlds. They do. Mm-hmm. So I can say Republican or Democrat and we think of worlds.
Exactly.
You know, I can say virtuous woman or I can say prostitute and we think of worlds.
Absolutely.
I can say macho man or I can say weak man or little wimp.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We build these worlds around them. But when I start saying hope, love, mercy, justice, care, mm-hmm. kindness, civility, when I start saying humanity, one, unified, unity, when I start saying unique, kind, you know, all of a sudden we build different worlds.
Absolutely.
So if anyone knows me, I always tell people I teach, especially people I teach, it's more than words and it's more than comments. When you're on that mic, you have the attention of others, and that is the greatest responsibility you have in the room.
Yeah.
Relational equity is what we call it. So I do this by trying to be a demonstration in my life every day. Because, hey, what if the mission field, God called me away from the mission field one day? What if he called me away from the military one day?
Yeah.
What if he called me away from working at the church one day? What do I have? I have my life. And our life is our greatest platform. The goal is that people would continue to say encore because you live yours right.
Yeah.
Because what we live, we leave. And not just when we live and die, but when we come into someone's world and when we walk out of someone's world. So even if someone looks at my post on social media, it is all about giving life to people.
Mm.
If I ever express my opinion, it better be a pretty strong one.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, it, so that's the only
There's
time you really
opinions
see it.
Out there.
Strong
you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if it's about saying the right thing, you'll never, I just don't hesitate a lot on it. Mm-hmm. I don't walk through a lot of filters. I'll say it, I'll do it.
Yeah.
But if it's a stronger opinion towards a debate, I just won't tend to do that. You see me tend to just give life.
Mm-hmm.
To show life, to model life, to say life, to walk along and give life. We just want our life to be a lifestyle. So what you speak has to be backed up by action. Why? Because actions speak louder than words.
Absolutely.
So we speak life so that we can give it.
Good stuff, man. You're preaching today. Come on.
Come on.
Good stuff.
Oh, man. I can't believe I wrote that on my website.
I'm just telling you.
I just pulled it up
from your website right there. I love it. So you'll have to go back and check it and go, okay.
I know. No, it's good. I wrestled pretty hard over that. And when I gave like the beta out for it, like I gave the beta to almost 50 people. Yeah. And I just said, would you read over this for me? Because I just want to make sure it's not traditional. It's not this or that, but I don't want to be that. I just want to be me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So now you talked earlier about your kiddos.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And now you have a child with special needs. Am I correct in that?
Yeah, we have two kids.
Two. Yeah. Okay. So would you mind sharing a little bit about that and about that journey?
Absolutely. It's our 10-year-old. Her name is Karya. And our 9-year-old, his name is Jeremiah. And they're 10 and they're 9 because I love my wife. Come on. And they're 13 apart. Some would call Irish twin, but they're black. So I don't know how that would work. You know, I've seen black Irish coffee, so maybe we can throw that there. But
Could be.
You know, yeah. Our kids are clearly from Wakanda. I'm just playing. And so we're a blended family. Our oldest son, I met him when he was 4.
Okay.
We had our first child together, Karya, her and Jeremiah are both autistic.
Okay.
Jeremiah is more on the, I don't want to call it severe side, but on the nonverbal side, a little bit more attention and direction that is needed. It's autism is the world that they live in. We could see the signs early because before I was a father to them, I was a father in a group home. I got this analogy about being a father. What makes you a father? What makes you a daddy is children.
Yeah.
What makes you a father is what God names you, right? Mm-hmm. We're the only ones ever named after him. He's the only, and it's no discrimination against anyone. It's just living in your lane. It's just living in your identity. And the only species out of all the millions and billions, out of all the kingdoms, plants, animals, cosmos, whatever, bacteria, whatever. The only thing he's ever named after himself was father. Mm-hmm. And so I was a father in group homes. I was a para. I did, special needs work for about the work of a special needs provider for about 10 years. And then I could see some of the things in our kids.
Mm-hmm.
So they are amazing kids. They challenge us to be the absolute very best father and mother that we can. And we're still children ourselves. So we're learning, we're somebody else's children. So we're learning and growing, pulling from our past, but yet loving our kids uniquely as they are. They are something else. They're beautiful. They're absolutely amazing kids.
Isn't it amazing? We think before we have kids, we have this view of what we think our picture perfect world's going to look like. And we think, we're going to have typical kids and everything's just going to be sunshine and roses and beautiful and all this stuff. Yeah. And then, we find out our kids have a diagnosis and it can do two different things. I think we all go into that place of shock and awe and, oh my goodness, what is our life going to look like? But then we have a choice. We have a choice. There comes a point in time we have a choice as to whether we go, all right, this is God's goodness for us. We're going to see the blessing in these amazing kids that he's given us, or we're going to be flipping miserable our whole life. So was there a point for you where you were like, okay, this is it. This is God's goodness for us.
Yeah.
And was there a point in time, like I can almost remember there was just like Jeff and I come into a place, this is good. We started seeing how God was using our son in so many crazy good ways. And it was like this peace that just came over us. Now we still had our moments when we're, dealing with cleaning up poop and cleaning up messes and having seizures and all that.
Why are you putting it on the wall?
Yeah. Exactly. Messes.
Did you just eat that? No, you got real food.
No. Preach it right there. I know. But was there a moment for you guys where you were like, okay, God, this is your goodness?
It had to come in waves. Because my wife was raised in a really good home. There's all 4 girls. They adopted a cousin that became their brother, kind of one of those scenarios. And my wife had an idea of what her first daughter was going to be like. And we were the first daughter among like 6 grandbabies, 6 grandboys that came first.
Yeah.
5. And for me, my son, same thing. You have this theory, and I always tell my older son, he is my first child, right? Hands down.
Yeah.
But our first boy by birth, it had to come over in waves. It had to come by God's prophetic words for our kids. It had to come for the way people prayed for us and the way people looked at our kids. It had to come with us going, these kids are beautiful. It had to come with us praying for God's healing over our kids. Mm. I know some people kind of have reneged against stuff like that, but we see how kids are traditionally, and we know that there are hindrances in their brain and body. And we've prayed for those things to be removed. Like we would pray for diabetes to be removed, or, mm-hmm. you know, cancer to be removed. Right. And I don't equate it to any of those, but we have prayed for our kids' healing. And God has often left impressions on our hearts as well. And so it came in waves for us, but it also came, I remember a distinct time when before we started our gathering place, we were sitting on the bed. Well, it happened in multiple places, but we were sitting on the bed, and I remember going, honey, because we wanted to have this this event that was a pop-up style, like food truck experience for the homeless. And essentially, we'd invite those that were not homeless and those that were homeless to come and partake from these food trucks. But we start running into this moment where we would be in restaurants. My wife is a chef. She likes food. We are her consumers, so we love food too. And we would be in the restaurants, and our son Jeremiah, who likes to jump and scream and kind of do his language, and our daughter Kari, who can have breakdowns and cry, and we would get stank eyes. And one time we had somebody say, "Get control of your kid." Mm-hmm. And as a father, that just made me, "Woo, Lord!" Yeah. I almost did a Michael Jackson on him. Yeah. You know, I'm bad. I'm bad. I almost shamoned him right there. Shamoned. I said, "I will punch him in the mouth in Jesus' name." Like, yeah. I'll repent later, but I know I can repent. So, what we discovered sitting on our bed that night is we had a lot of anxiety about taking our kids in public because of how we'd be perceived as parents, or they might be perceived, and we were guarding our kids for the wrong, right reasons. Mm-hmm. And so we said, "What about other people? What if they needed this dying experience too?" So we developed this dying experience called Our Gathering Place, a judgment-free pop-up style dining experience for families with special needs. And then we invite people in that didn't have special needs so they can sit across the table and have a great experience, from millionaires to people that had, you know, government assistance, living and government assistance only, to from wealthy to brown, white, black, all sorts of colors, from those that spoke another language. So it came in moments like that where we started going, okay, let's do something for somebody. Let's meet with another family that has the same conditions that we have, and let's grow with them. It came in moments like, it came in waves, because we still have to go, okay, how are we handling this? This part right here is a little hard. Like, we're going to let our kids go back to school.
Yeah.
How is it going to work for them? And they're going to take down their mask, and Jeremiah needs to kiss people every 30 seconds. And what are we going to go with parents? What are we going to do? Yeah. He needs to hug everybody and tickle them. And, you know, and like, yeah, and like, so it's in waves and it's continuous.
Yeah.
That was a long answer, but like internally, I just had to walk through that. It just, it's very real time still.
Man, that's so good. You know, and I know you've talked a lot about your faith as we've had this conversation and about how important that is to you. But as a special needs dad, how has your faith impacted your walk on this journey of your life of being a special needs dad?
Oh, boy. Yeah. So part of my breaking place was God reminding me that I was a father.
Mm.
And that that those kids were winners. If they made it from me to their mom, and they came to fruition, they are winners.
Yeah,
they are champions. They won it. They won the quote unquote race, if you will. Because there are people that can't have children. There are people that are working for it and they cannot. Yeah. And my children were born. They were born champions. And faith has taught me that I don't leave or forsake my children, because God doesn't leave or forsake me. He's taught me that every good and perfect gift comes from above, so I need to be able to do it to my children. He taught me how much grace and love and care and compassion He had for me when I was running wild, and these kids were born with something that they don't have in control, and I was just playing out of control. And like, he has this special place for my kids that he loves them more than I ever will. He cares for them more than I ever will. Like, he has an eternal resting place for them that I cannot build, that I cannot design myself. He has taught me so much about his love for me that it has helped me to go, I want to be just like you. Oh, Jesus.
Wow.
I can feel his presence.
Oh, and I got cold chills.
I just want to be.
That was good.
Come on. Yeah. Wow.
That's
been the changing point. I am a father.
Yeah.
I am a father. So I see kids, I just fall in love with them, because I'm like, boy, I bet you that's how God looks at me. And this mother too, he taught me how to like love and support and come behind my wife, so that in turn it would empower her even to love kids and to love our kids. Like, man, he's just that faith is everything. Everything I do is in or out of faith. That's the way I believe it. And so I just want to have a better rate of return by investing in what God has called me to do, how he's designed me. And boy, he has spent way more grace and been way more patient with me than I ever could be with my kid. He's done it his entire existence before I was framed. My kids have been in the world for 10 and 9 years, and I got a lot of catching up to do. You know what I'm saying? So at home, I just want to be a good daddy.
And I have no doubt you are. I mean, wow, that's so great. Now we're going to do something a little fun here. I've never done this in one of our podcasts before, because usually, you know, our podcasts are a little bit more serious, but I have Jarrell Roach here and, you know, Mr. Comedian. And so we're going to do a little lightning round here. You ready?
Let's do it.
Some of these are super easy. But I've already kind of warned you, the last one, number five here, I can't wait to hear what you say. Okay, so the first ones are easy. Okay, so favorite junk food?
Oh, shoot. Cake, chocolate cake. I love chocolate cake like I'm a pregnant woman. I do. No offense against pregnant women, but I can ask my son, you know what I'm craving right now? He'll go, chocolate cake. Yes!
Chocolate cake. Okay.
Yes!
You morning person or night owl?
Morning. Oh, I'm a little bit of both. I like waking up early when it's night.
Bada bing. Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Biggest pet peeve.
Ooh, easy. When people treat others wrong. Easy. Ooh. I will fight somebody quick. I'm a peaceful person, but I would go from like, oh, really nice black guy to like Black Thunder. Real quick. That's a pet peeve of mine.
I love it. Okay. Yeah. What is one thing on your bucket list?
Oh, I want to go skydiving. I do. I want to go skydiving so bad. That's it. I was just creating a list of about 150 items that I want to do in a lifetime.
Okay. Well, I suspect you'll be doing that one. Somebody maybe even listening is going, I'm going to get Jarrell hooked up with some skydiving. So, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So here we go. On a scale of 1 to 10, how cool are you?
Oh my goodness. Let's go. Is 10 the best?
Yeah, well, scale of 1 to 10. How cool are you?
Ooh, I just wanted to make sure I didn't say the wrong direction. Okay. I'm going with the big fat 10 because God said so. Let's go. Beautifully, wonderfully made. Beautiful, unique. Let's go. And my mama would probably say the same thing. Come on.
I would say a 10 as well. But I got a 10.
Come on.
One here. I love it. Okay. Yeah.
Don't
I would
ask
say,
my wife. She might give you a different number.
Yeah. Maybe we should bring her on. Yeah. Okay. So tell us on your scale, what is he? No, I think that's great. So, okay.
Well,
there that's you go. Point. So now we know chocolate cake. Don't ever do anything to make you like treat somebody wrong, because you're gonna take care of it. Or Ooh, maybe I need you in my corner. You know, if like
that's right.
All right, so
that's right.
We're gonna end all of our podcast with the one thing. Whew. So I want to know, what is the one thing you want people to know about Jarrell? What's the one thing people want to know about you, as a person, as a man of God? What's the one thing, if people were just to see your picture, what do you want them to know about you?
Mm.
Sorry, I should have, you know, given you a little, do you know this?
No, nope, that's okay. I feel it in my heart, actually, that I would want people to know that my life was designed and hopefully portrayed showing the love of Jesus, because it changes the world.
Yeah.
Boom.
That's a good place to end right there. That is a good.
And if you have chocolate cake, it doubles that.
We'll have to send you a chocolate cake, okay?
Yeah.
I'm so grateful for your time. I'm so grateful that you would spend this time talking to us, sharing us about your heart and your ministries and all the amazing things you do. I love that the example that you're setting for this generation of what it means to be a godly man. To be just to live a life of respect and honor before the Lord. I mean, you're doing it. And so thank you so much for what you're doing and for taking this time and for being a part of our dad's event coming up.
Yeah.
Now give us a plug. Tell the dads why they need to make sure to sign up to come. It's free. First of all, the event is free.
Yeah.
So, I mean, come on.
Come on, guys. It's free.com or free.org, whatever you like to use.
Exactly.
And if you're a professor, it's free.edu, whatever you want to do. But hey, we're going to be there. And us fathers, we need to be there. I'm bringing the hilariousness. You don't want to miss it. It's stuff that we get and we understand. And listen, I'm pulling the tape off the skin. All right. If you are getting a waxing, I'm pulling it right off of your back. That's what I want to feel. And we're going to have a good time as men. Why? Because we need to. You're important. I see you. And so many times we get overlooked. Well, I'm looking right at you, my brothers. And I almost said my sisters, my brothers. And we're going to have a good time. Be there. I'm going to be there. I cannot wait to see you. And I cannot wait to meet you. Come expect this young wild brother out of Nebraska loves you. I fight for you because I care about you, baby. Let's go.
I love it. Love it. So Jarrell, we will include in the show notes all of the links to your, all of your social media, your website, all of that, so people can come and find you. And then you're doing shows and different things. And I know that you have a list on your website with where you are. And so check it out. Right. You're getting ready to revamp the website, but it's there. Yes. So people can come check it out and learn more about you. So
absolutely. And there's going to be so many new caveats to it because we want to show our journey. We want to show our time with the homeless and with those that are in the special needs community. We want to show more of our time with Cuba and Mexico's up and coming. We want to show our time when we're at camps or when we're, I mean, we just want to show you creation. We want to show you the behind the scenes stuff, the inner workings of it and what it takes to do life. You know, we want to show all of that. We want to show all of that. Yeah.
We'll be sure to include all those links. And so again, thank you so much. We are so grateful for you and can't wait to be with you in November at the Dad's event.
Rising Above Ministries, yeah!
Thank you for listening to the Rising Above Ministries podcast. We would like to thank Jimmy Thorpe and Patrick Mayberry for providing the music for our podcast today. If you like what you hear, please take a minute to leave us a rating and review. This helps others like you find our content more easily. You can learn more about how Rising Above Ministries is encouraging the special needs community by checking out our website at risingaboveministries.org or by finding us on Facebook and Instagram. We look forward to connecting with you.